Good morning. I'd like to call the Legacy Finance Committee meeting to order. Welcome, everyone. So we have a quorum, so we're open for business. I'd like to welcome today, we have some high school students joining us from LeSueur Henderson. And welcome. And so appreciate you coming to down to the Capitol. We in this committee focus on, a couple years ago, there was a constitutional amendment to, for Minnesotans to tax themselves 3/8 of 1%. And this committee spends the money on parks and trails. So if you care about those things or outdoor habitat, whether it be like hunting or fishing or restoring, you know, trout streams, and then clean water throughout the state. I guess we all want clean water, right? That one's pretty easy. And then today we're focusing on arts, and we also do work in arts and cultural funding libraries, but today we're focusing on the arts. So welcome. I think I've seen your teams in the state high school tournament in many sports. Any of you performing right now in the fall here? Didn't quite make it. Oh, what's your sport?
Softball.
Oh, okay, so the spring. Great. Well, thank you very much. Welcome to the committee. Sorry. So we have the minutes from the March 6th meeting. Chair Lee, would you be willing to move the March 6th minutes that we have in our packets?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Lee. Any questions in regards to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The minutes are approved, so thank you, Chair Lee. Today is a big day. We have the arts and cultural part of our fund that we're talking about, but we're welcoming the arts folks today, and I'm going to switch out the gavel here as Ms. Gents and your team is coming forward, and I'm pretty excited to have one of our star team members take over.
Thank you, Chair Lilly, for the chance. It's a wonderful opportunity to chair a committee for the first time in my career. welcome to the committee. Ms. Jens, why don't you tell us what you have?
Great. Thank you, Chair Finke. And I've confused my testifiers now because they know they were supposed to say Chair Lilly. So
for the record, my name is Lee Finke. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and you can call me Chair Finke today.
For you. Thank you for inviting us to be here in the committee today. My name is Sue Jens. I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota State Arts Board. And with me today are my three other colleagues. Mark Turner, to my right, is with the Five Wings Arts Council. To my left is Leah Moore from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Twin Cities, which is a human service organization that has a strong arts program. And then to my far right, we have Tomas Leal from In Progress. And you're going to hear from each of them very shortly. I wanted to start just with a bit of an update about Arts Board activities. I was here a year ago and told you a bit about what we do, and you do have some materials in front of you. We are a state agency, so our mission and our activities don't change much from year to year. They are in state statute, and you have a summary of those. Grant making and serving as the fiscal agent to pass through state funds to regional arts councils continues to be our two primary activities. I wanted to highlight for you just a couple of changes that we made in our grant programs this year. When I was here last year, we talked a little bit about some of the programs that we had offered due to COVID. During the pandemic, we shifted about half of our funding into two special programs called Creative Support. And we offered those in fiscal 21, 22, and 23 as a way to help individuals and organizations try to find some way through the pandemic. Now that things are getting better, and I say that kind of facetiously today because I'm wearing a mask because I'm on day 7 of COVID, we have discontinued those programs, and instead we've replaced them with 4 new programs that align specifically with the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. So we're offering an arts experiences, an arts education, a cultural expression, and an accessible arts program. One of the things that has happened this year that really surprised us is that we have had the highest demand for grants this year that we have ever seen. We had nearly 2,000 applications. We are about 3/4 of the way through approving those grants, and we will finish that very soon. But I wanted to say just a little bit about 3 of those new programs. Arts education, which I know this committee cares a great deal about and you talked about last year, has awarded $4.8 million. And we are funding classes, workshops, apprenticeships, summer camps, artist residencies in schools, after-school programs all across the state, and serving all different ages, from classes in low-income housing facilities in the Twin Cities to Ridgeway Community School way in southeast Minnesota, Houston, bringing in a professional theater company to work with their students and give them an opportunity that they wouldn't otherwise have. We've also offered the cultural expression program this year, which we're very excited about. We've done research in the last few years, and one of the things we've heard from Minnesotans is that they want arts programming that allows them to celebrate their own culture and to understand the cultures of others. And this program really does that. And so we're funding festivals, classes, demonstrations, and education programs in schools to highlight world cultures. And here is just a partial list of some of the cultures that are going to be taught or showcased through these grants. African, West African, Chinese, Mexican, Native American, Hmong, Somali, Indian, Lao, Turkish, German, Polish, and the list goes on and on. We think that this is going to be a really popular program, an important program, because it will be a way for people to reach out and help one another understand what's valuable and important about their traditions. Finally, I wanted to highlight a third program called Accessible Arts. Many of you already are connected with the arts. You know that accessibility is a challenge. Oftentimes we work in spaces that are not accessible. It's hard to make digital programming accessible. And so this program is a first step for us, a way for organizations to start to invest in their own accessibility work. So they can hire a consultant maybe to create an accessibility plan for them, or to come in and do a feasibility study or an assessment of their facilities. They can also use the money for training for their own staff or their board or their volunteers or their artists to better embed accessibility into all of the work that they do. We're really seeing this as a way to build the capacity and strengthen the whole field in the arts. Pardon me, this turned out to be our most competitive grant program this year. We had a lot of applications and could only fund a few grants. I'm going to finish out my part of the presentation today by just asking you at some point to look at page 4. There are some numbers that are, I think are the most important numbers I can leave with you. In the 22-23 biennium, Minnesota State Arts Board and the Regional Arts Councils together funded 5,300 grants. We reviewed 7,600 applications, 5,300 grants, and together those grants reached an in-person audience of 24.6 million people. If you add online, the number gets even bigger. And I share those numbers with you just as a way to say that the Arts Board and Regional Arts Councils together make up a system that really spreads those state taxpayer dollars as far as they can go. We try to get them into every community if we can. I've had the chance in the last couple of months to travel to 19 communities, and what we hear about is the arts are helping retain young workers and young families, keeping them at home in small communities. The arts are helping young kids get a strong start in life. And most importantly right now, the arts are really focusing on mental health. There's a lot of stress in the world, and many of the artists and arts programs that we've been supporting are trying to help address that problem. So we're happy to spread the joy, the inspiration, the empathy, and the connection that the arts can offer. thanks to the support that you have appropriated to us. I'm going to slide back from the table now, Chair Finke, and I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to make his comments.
Thank you very much, Ms. Jens. Mr. Turner, welcome to the committee. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, thank you, Chair. Chair Finke, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm Mark Turner. I'm the Executive Director of the Five Wings Arts Council, which is located in Staples, Minnesota, one of 11 regional arts councils. Personally, I actually hail from Verndale. My hometown is Verndale, Minnesota. The Minnesota Regional Arts Council system, Sue mentioned a little bit about it for maybe folks that are new in the committee or haven't heard. There's 11 regional arts councils in the state, and in Sue's information that she sent out, there'll be a little map there. As you can see, it covers every county in the state. That's by design. So there's a local office with boots on the ground for arts and cultural development that represents every county in the state. I like to describe it as kind of the regional arts councils as a decentralized funding system for the state and not for the public arts dollars. It gives local control of how funds are invested, and I think that's important. Each regional arts council is guided and governed by a local board, local citizens with representation from each county. So there's local folks making those decisions, and not just the decisions on individual grant awards, which they all do, or have panels that do that from the local communities, but it's also those decisions on what type of programs and services are offered in that region. So it's a real customized approach to cultural development and support for creative activities all across the state, depending on the region. And I'm here to say the system is working. Sue mentioned a little bit about the numbers, just some amazing numbers, and that's a cumulative for FY 22 and 23. We pulled out just the Regional Arts Council numbers, Regional Arts Council only for FY 23, so the most recent fiscal year. And that number came up to 1,600 grants at nearly $10 million that regional arts councils were able to invest in the state, which is just amazing numbers. And I was just thinking about this before we sat down. I don't have all the numbers, but it would be interesting to do a cumulative, Sue, of numbers since the legacy amendment passed and since we've been awarding those numbers, because we were able to hit the ground running with doing the same kind of work as soon as the legacy amendment was passed. To see just the extraordinary amount of grants since that amendment passed. I don't know of any other part of the legacy fund that probably is doing that many direct grants to the public, right to the field. That's a lot of grant making. And the demand, as Sue mentioned, the demand is just simply growing. I'm gonna switch gears a little bit. Is there any questions about the Regional Arts Council system?
I think we'll hold our questions until everyone has had a chance to present.
Thank you, Chair Finke.
Of course.
Let's drill down to the Five Wings Arts Council. That's one of the 11 regional arts councils. We're up in the north central part of the state. A large community is the Brainerd-Baxter area. Otherwise, it's really small, rural, remote area communities of averaging around 1,000 people in population or less. We do a lot of there is a one-page handout in your materials. I'm not sure what page it was on, but it kind of looks like this. A little one-pager. It kind of gives us a synopsis of what the grant making that we're doing as an individual regional arts council. And I like to, it's kind of run-of-the-mill grant programs that we have. We do a lot of just project grants for arts activities for communities. We call that community arts access. We do general operating grants for long-standing arts organizations, school grants, all that kind of stuff. What I do want to highlight is one grant program we called Arts-Based Community Development. And this is, I want to highlight this for a couple reasons. One, I think it's really cool, and I got an example of one of the cool projects that we just did. But it shows the flexibility that regional arts councils have in each region to design programs that are tailored for their specific needs. So what we call Arts-Based Community Development is communities would come to us with some kind of challenge that they see in their community, and the project I want to highlight is called Safe Walk to Dino Park. It's right in the community of Staples, and they recently had the hospital had built a new campus, so there was an abandoned hospital complex there. Working with the community, this is not our work, but the previous to this, it was decided, well, we're going to have a senior center complex, senior housing, I should say, in this complex, and also double it up with some child care facilities as well. Perfect use for this facility. That was going on. It created a different kind of issue where traffic patterns changed, and there's a city park that's located right across from this, from the old hospital complex, which was in the day in kind of a residential area. So the problem was a safe walk for the residents of that senior center to get across the road to use this park and also the child care facility to safely get across this this road, because it was a residential road, and now it has a lot more activity to it. So they came to us and we said, this is exactly the kind of stuff we like to fund. I think this is a good use of this funding. So our team worked with both the hospital, the city, the city transportation department, and also engaged artists right from the get-go and to kind of solve this problem. So what, long story short, what it came up with was this dramatic kind of mural painted on the street itself, and brightly colored. It's Dino Park, so there's some dinosaur-shaped equipment, dinosaur-shaped stuff. So as you can imagine, they totally got a makeover, so they're highly visible. So it really changed the outlook of that experience for folks getting across over to the park, not only from a safety concern, because I don't think you should have a driver's license if you can't see noticeably where this crosswalk is to get to the park, but it really engaged the community and artists to make that happen. So I could go on with I've been doing this a long time. I could go on with lots of stories of community engagement and community theaters and community choruses and the impact that has. But I want to leave the committee with just one thing. I've been doing this for about 30 plus years. And there's one thing I want to leave you with is the arts are more than entertainment. They're more than a pastime or a hobby. The arts build community. They build relationships. It's about creating, learning, improving. It's about expression. And I come from this, from greater Minnesota in small rural communities. I know that's the same in larger communities, but I think it's particularly important to have these opportunities in our rural areas. We talk about quality of life. It's more than that. It's about the absolute well-being of people. And that's what I want to leave the committee with.
Thank you very much, Mr. Turner. Couldn't agree more with you about the absolute well-being of our communities through the arts. So thank you for that. Leah Moore, why don't you introduce yourself? Let's hear your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Finke. My name is Leah Moore, and I am the director of the Free Arts Program at Big Brothers Big Sisters Twin Cities. And I appreciate it's a wonderful segue when we talk about relationship building and general well-being in the arts. So. The high-level overarching mission of Big Brothers Big Sisters is to create and support mentoring relationships that ignite the power and the promise of youth. We are probably most recognized in the community for our one-to-one mentoring and matching program. You may have heard of an adult or a big being matched with a youth or a little. However, this local agency of Big Brothers Big Sisters is the only one in the entire country that has a free arts program, and that's the one I oversee. The free arts really is similar and is different than the traditional Big Brothers Big Sisters. We support youth a little outside that model, and we bring the benefits of arts learning and mentorship together in like a group or team style setting. And we believe that arts exposure and learning provides an organic opportunity to open up as an individual and connect with others while being supported by reliable adult role models. Through this team style of mentoring, we're able to engage youth ages 3 to 18 who may not qualify for a traditional one-to-one match because of challenges they or their families are facing. It could be housing instability, general safety concerns, addiction, and so on. We partner with a variety of nonprofits and social service agencies who apply to receive our program. And most of these agencies are supporting families through difficult times. So we have partnerships with shelters for families experiencing domestic violence or homelessness. We have an LGBTQ+ emergency shelter for teens that we work with. Many transitional and supportive housing programs. Everything from childhood development centers, community centers, and after-school programs. And we currently hold about 20 partnerships in the metro area. So why arts and mentoring? Well, we definitely believe that there are so many benefits to arts experiences and arts learning, and that those are vital to youth development and emotional, social-emotional growth. Some of those include stress reduction and mindfulness, emotional expression and identity, enhanced creativity and imagination, cultural connections, enhanced self-esteem and confidence, increased independence, experimentation while solving problems and taking low risks and making mistakes and learning to recover from those. And then in the partnership with mentoring, we believe that there's a mutual learning opportunity and a chance for community and collaboration. Now, these skills are particularly important and beneficial to the youth in our program because of those challenges they and their families are facing. Also, our partners who apply to receive our programming are chosen because their resources are prioritized for other urgent needs, and they have little or no other arts enrichment for the youth in their programming. And we can provide that for free. And we do that because we believe all youth need a safe and supportive and creative outlet for self-expression. So I was hoping to give you a little glimpse into some of the participants in our program. At one of our supportive housing sites, an artist teaching poetry and spoken word to teens said that the youth had recently created I Am poems using similes and metaphors. When they shared out as a group, everyone was so impressed with the creations. And I think this highlights an opportunity for the youth to express themselves, their identity, and then also be supported in that community space while they do that and have a voice. At an after-school program in North Minneapolis, third through fifth grade youth are learning drumline techniques in order to see how music can be a connection to scholarships for historically black colleges and universities. After one of the drumline classes with All City Music, that's who we're working with, one young man was overheard telling a friend, they do classes over at Weber Park and summer camps, and it's all free. Which just shows you the enthusiasm, the excitement, how one class made a connection and could potentially plant that seed for that young man or people he's telling moving forward. Teens at one of our at Esperanza United are studying documentary filmmaking, and during one of the sessions, while sharing out about a person or place that they can most be themselves, one of the youth said it was his sister. And his sister was present in that session and was so moved by this, it brought her to tears as well as others in the room. I think highlighting the safe space that's created to be expressive, to be oneself, and to make those connections in that space. A few quotes from our participants include, this is not an uncommon one, but it is a specific one. Of the 20 partnerships we have, we often hear something to this effect: the youth have really blossomed into their identity and their art skills have improved. Mentors who volunteer in the same space upon reflection say, one of our mentors said upon reflection at one of our shelters for women and children in North Minneapolis, I love the sense of community free arts builds. At a shelter for families, a mentor shared their thoughts after a favorite session taught by one of our teaching artists. The kids really enjoyed the project and have a variety of creative approaches to the project. It highlighted each participant's personality. It was so exciting to experience. And this artist happened to have similar shared experiences to the families having experienced housing insecurity themselves. And then what better voice than from the youth and children themselves? I'll leave you with a few more exuberant quotes. Free arts is my favorite thing to do. I like everything I've made. This is the best place I've ever been. Colette, a teaching artist, taught me lots. I am an artist. Thank you. And I'll pass it off to Tomas.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And Tomas Leal, go ahead and introduce yourself, and we'll hear your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Finke. My name is Tomas Leo. I'm here representing In Progress. We're literally right down the street off of Rice on Front. We've been there for about over 10, 11 years. But we've been doing this work since 96. And I'm just going to Currently, right now for In Progress, I am community liaison. I am the studio manager, and I also am the lead mentor for photography and videography. But anyway, I'll jump in. Good morning and hello to everyone here today with the House of Representatives Legacy Finance Committee. Thank you for sharing your space and time with us to share our story with you today. I want to tell you about In Progress, a nonprofit arts organization that has been working with underrepresented communities since the inception in 1996. The purpose of In Progress is to support artists within communities by providing mentorship, access to digital art making tools, and opportunities to connect with other artists. The organization works with artists of all ages, building relationships across communities, currently providing programming in urban, rural, and tribal communities across the state. My name is Tomas Leo. I've been a part of In Progress since its inception in 1996, where I participated in a summer workshop while living in Crookston, Minnesota, located in the northwestern region of the state. Before that day, I hadn't heard anything about the arts, let alone photography or videography. Over the years, I continued to participate, learn, and hone my skills as a photographer and videographer, telling my stories about my family and myself. Like most folks, life happens. I moved to the cities and made St. Paul my home. I started a family working a 9-to-5 as needed. I earned a bachelor's degree in digital photography, and in that process found my way back to In Progress. In 2010, I returned to Crookston in a full circle moment, you might say, as a teaching artist for In Progress. This was my first taste at knowing that I could make a living as an artist. Today, I continue to teach workshops and mentor artists for In Progress while operating my own commercial business in photography. The creative support grants and arts education grants have provided countless opportunities for so many individuals and families who have never experienced the arts. In Progress, in particular, has dedicated its work throughout the decades to supporting artists from different cultural, generational, and geographic backgrounds, an effort that would be nearly impossible if not for legacy funding. Legacy funding in particular has supported the long-term development of creative spaces and digital art-making resources in rural Minnesota. Today, Crookston is home to Studio 110, a space operated by In Progress that provides access, creative space, workshops, mentorship opportunities, exhibits, and screenings to artists of all ages and cultural backgrounds. The studio is run by local artists with support from In Progress. It should be noted that the women that lead this programming are Latinx and were trained over time with programs funded in part by the Minnesota State Art Board. The Crookston team, as we like to call them, work to create art and engage the community in an effort to break down biases and barriers that face our artists of color, mainly the Latino community within Crookston, Minnesota. Over the years, we have had the privilege to hear stories from a couple of our young artists like Mariko Espercuta and Ismali Obiskaki, who both created short films that went on to win awards to be recognized nationwide. Mariko is now 22 years old, has been creating digital media since the age of 10. She lives in Crookston, Minnesota, where she teaches and leads other people in the art of digital arts creation. Her work revolves around bringing attention to racial and economic imbalances that exist in her town and around the world. She is skilled in digital photography and video, is a leader in her community where so many other artists look up to her for inspiration. In 2021, she received an individual grant award from the Waterers Fund in support of her work as a digital artist. Ismali, now 11 years old, has been making films since the age of 6. When asked about her filmmaking, she stated, "I like making movies because I like to inspire people to be kind and have compassion for others." She creates film work that takes on racial biases and bullying in an effort to teach others that it is time for change. She too is a nationally recognized filmmaker that has bravely spoken through the arts. Both the creative support grant and arts education grants have allowed us to continue our work in rural Minnesota over the years, specifically in Crookston, where In Progress found much of its inspiration. We are so proud to have space to gather, share, and be seen as artists working together to better our community. We hope to continue this work for years to come with support from the Minnesota State Art Board and others. On behalf of all the artists at In Progress, I would like to personally thank you for your support and for ensuring communities statewide have opportunities to create and to see themselves as artists. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much, and thank you for your 30 years of commitment to this organization. That's incredible. We'll turn to questions from members. Representative Furr.
Thank you, Chair Finke, and thank you for the presenters today. And maybe if Sue, you could come back, I can ask the question. Of the 11 regional arts councils, the funds that go to the council itself, how do you decide how those funds get distributed to each one of these different arts councils? Like, do they all get an equal amount of money to manage or to give out in grants? Or if you could just talk a little bit about that process.
Chair Finke?
Yes, Mayor. Director Jens, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for that question, Representative Herr. I'm going to start the answer, and then I'm going to ask Mark, not because I don't know the answer. But the good news is the Minnesota State Arts Board does not decide how much each of the regional arts councils get. They decide that amongst themselves. And the reason I'm going to hand off to Mark is because Mark is the person who does that calculation. So if you want to chime in, Mr. Mark.
Center.
Yeah, sure, Vicky. So that's a great question, and we get that a lot. I should address that right away. And Sue is correct. They do not do the calculation. The 11 regional arts councils have a consortium. We call it the Forum of Regional Arts Councils of Minnesota. And we actually meet monthly, or sometimes even more than monthly, as directors of that organization to talk about many things, best practices, better practices, all those things. One of those things is coming up with a formula ourselves. So we actually choose the formula ourselves decides which region gets how much money. So not to go into deep detail, but the formula takes into consideration a base amount that is the same amount that each regional arts council receives, and then it's also based on population and geographic landmass area. So the only calculation, the only difference it would be the amount, the percentage of dollars that is in the State Arts Board line for regional arts councils. That as a big number comes to us, and then we decide in an equitable way of how we distribute it out to the 11 regional arts councils.
Thank you for that, Chair Finke.
Representative Herr, go ahead.
And I would love to maybe kind of, I don't know if that formula changes from year to year, but I would love to actually see some numbers attached to each one of these councils just so that we get a better idea of where the funding is going and what it is and what is actually funding, so that would be helpful. And then I just want one comment, Chair Finke, is just that I just wanted to say that when you made the comment that arts is more than entertainment, that really speaks to my heart, because I was having this conversation with an arts organization that came to visit me in my office just last week, and we were talking about how when I was growing up as a refugee, my only access to art was through free programs, and I fell in love with arts and gym class, the two things that I loved the most about school and about being able to participate, and that had it not been for free programs, I would have never been able to actually access that, and it has made all the difference in my life. And I want to just add on to that, in this conversation I had with this arts organization, I thought about the fact that, my community comes from so much trauma, right, from the war that we experienced in general. We were born into war, we escaped war, and I often wondered how our grandmothers and grandfathers, especially the grandmothers, because that's who we were around, how they dealt with that trauma of war. And I thought about, when I crochet when I feel nervous, and because of all of my neurodivergent issues, it helps me focus so people can be talking while I crochet, and I realized all of our grandmas and aunties would cross-stitch. And it was just a part of our culture that you would make these things, because we wore these outfits to Hmong New Year, and we incorporated into our clothes and into our baby carriers. But to me, it was the connection of that was arts that, and their ability to do that, and they did it every day, that was the thing that helped them cope with the trauma that they were experiencing. And I think about the power of that, and the truth is that most times people have no idea that they're carrying trauma with them and how arts is showing up and impacting their lives. And so I just wanted to thank you to ensuring that arts is free to people, especially who would never have access to it, and that then we are able to tell stories and allow people to keep parts of their culture, because that is art as well. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Representative Herr. Other? Representative Chow.
Thanks for coming down here today. I was just going through your website, and I just want to make a compliment that, you know, the accessibility options on your website is really unique and good to have. And I don't see too many websites with that, and so I'm pretty impressed by that. So that's great. I just want to put a plug out there that next year marks the 50th anniversary of Hmongs in Minnesota. And I hope that the Art Council would be able to highlight some of that in the arts programming for next year for 2025. So just want to give you a heads up on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cha. I also have a question. I'll take this time. Director Jens, you mentioned about during the cultural expression, you listed the racial and ethnic groups who are participants in the cultural expression. Do you have any other cultures that are represented in that work, for example, LGBTQ culture or other social cultures?
Sure, thank you for the question. There are other cultures, and we don't define which cultures can apply in cultural expression. And I wouldn't expect you to remember past Arts Board programs. We used to have something called Folk and Traditional Arts, which we discontinued because culture is not a museum piece. Culture evolves, culture changes, and it means different things to different people. And so the applicants define the culture that they are wanting to celebrate and the communities that they choose to serve. And based on the connection between the artist or the arts organization and the community that they're going to serve, that's how those applications are scored. We also, and this isn't specifically in the cultural expression program, but it's across all of our project grant programs, we ask every one of our applicants to describe how their programming might impact underserved communities. LGBTQ is one of the communities, older adults is one of the communities, veterans is one of the communities, as well as racial and ethnic communities. We understand that there are a great many people who have community affinities that, to Representative Herr's point, have dealt with terrible challenges and terrible discrimination and terrible barriers in their self-expression and their ability to come together as a community and celebrate. And so we don't make the decision about who the culture is or who the group is, but we're happy to support as many different groups and different cultures as we can.
Thank you very much. It's great to hear. Chair Lilly.
Thank you, Chair Finke. You're doing a great job.
Oh, well, thank you.
I could be in trouble. That's good. That's good. Thank you for coming today. The arts community is so important, and you know, I just you know, just last week we had the arts rally here at the Capitol, and it was very, very well attended, and it was fun and to go and to. You know, I had an opportunity to speak as chair of Legacy, and then, you know, Chair Fungher in the Senate, and we've been good partners on the arts. And but it just really is amazing to hear the impacts that are, you know, all over the state. And I'm lucky enough to be on Chair Lee's committee, and literally we've covered every end of the state with his committee, and so you're on the bus and you'll look out the window, and you know, maybe you're in Fergus or something, and you see the, you know, the springboard, and you know, I know they've gotten money, and then to hear these stories, and I kind of thought you were going to take us on a journey down Rice Street.
Oh,
you know, the gentleman on the end here, and it was powerful to me sometimes the arts doesn't take you where expected, and here's another example. So then you take us to Crookston, which I'd been on Chair Lee's committee many time in that community, and realizing the, you know, the demographics of and uniqueness of each part of our state, and you know, many diverse communities probably in that community have come in for agricultural jobs like Worthington, and so there's art, and you're putting voice to that. And we're also connected by, you know, by the arts in so many ways. So thank you for doing that. And it's just it's powerful to see. Again, through Chair Lee's committee, I had an opportunity to go to the Swedish Institute. You can't get much more white than that, I guess. I say as a Norwegian, but actually I'm not, but have some Norwegian in me. But it's they're doing a great thing, too, with their arts, reaching out, and I think it's through grants, through you, reaches out to their community beyond their traditional clientele, as if you'd say, mm-hmm. realizing that their neighborhoods have changed. So mm-hmm. sometimes you think of, you know, this traditional white organization as serving, you know, the old Swedish meatballs, but it's they've gone way past that in the art and connecting and making people feel welcome. But I'm kind of rambling, but it's I think it's really amazing the grants that we see and I've been able to see, and then again I keep going back to Chair Lee's committee, but every time we're somewhere that we're doing bonding, we also see legacy grants, and often it's art grants or any programs that I go to with my family, you'll often see it on a program. I'm lucky enough to get a lot of feedback for other members. They go to programs and they're all these different art board regions, and they're going to programs that might have been done by grants, and they'll send me a picture of the program or tell me about it. And I wish everybody could hear those amazing stories. Ms. Jentz, I actually do have a question. Could you tell me a little bit more, and then I'll just kind of end there, with the 24 million contacts that you mentioned in the program, wasn't it 24 million? Mm-hmm. So just kind of tell me more what that is and then how that's happening, and that's just, and give me a time frame, and so that's happening. So, and it's pretty amazing that they have those, and I know the online thing, so it reaches beyond our borders too of Minnesota. We're a lot of programming that's done in Minnesota, I've heard of, like the radio space and other, you know, Ampers is all over the country, historical society programs, but certainly the arts programs are reaching all beyond our borders too. But anyways, tell about the 24 million. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Go ahead, Director Jentz.
Thank you, Chair Finke. Thank you for asking about that number. When we calculated it, I had to do it twice because it was a lot bigger than it has been during COVID. So the 24.6 million is 2 years of Arts Board and Regional Arts Council funded activities. And in all of our grant applications and all of the Regional Arts Council applications, they ask how many people will be served, and then in the final reports that come in, we ask how many people were actually served to get a sense of who is being touched by these grants. And the numbers obviously are tremendous. With 5.5 million Minnesotans, we all can do the math, and we know that there are obviously many people who attend multiple arts activities and others who maybe do one thing a year. But one of the things we know about Minnesotans is that they do care about the arts. And even if they don't care about the arts, they care about going to that community festival where they're going to see their neighbors and they're going to have a lovely day, maybe outside in some place, and they're going to have a chance to hear some good music or see some dancers and really feel like they've had a happy day. And so the numbers are high, and they're getting higher all the time, which is good. They also get higher because as we are able to fund more and more organizations, we are casting a wider and wider net of who is being served. And so it is our goal for that number to continue to grow every biennium.
Thank you. Representative Scrappa.
Thank you, Chair Finke.
Of course.
I'll make a statement first and then I'll ask questions. Being from rural Minnesota, Ely, Minnesota, I was cleaning my desk, part of it today, and there was a stack about this high, and I'm like, what is this from? It was from last year, and it was about the District 3A that I represent, all the events between 18 and 22 that were funded, mm-hmm. and it was thick. I was like, wow. Somebody's been busy, you know, and like Chair Lilly and Chair Lee, I'm on capital investments also, and when you're going through these communities, you see, especially in St. Paul, when we went, I think, was it St. Paul, Chair Lee, where I wanted to, we went to the market, the food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, arts are good. Food is art. It was an enlightening experience because you go through this big market and you see the diversity of everybody. And a lot of people don't think rural Minnesota is diverse. We've got a real diverse, and this fund, I think of my community, Ely, if you took arts out of our community, like just say there's no arts, no money for it, it'd be dull. It wouldn't have the vibrancy. I represent North Shore, the North Shore and Grand Marais, that area. It's people from here travel to that. They actually come from here to go there to experience those artists. So, and in International Falls, and I have two, I keep using the Canadian First Nation, but I'm in Indian reservations in my district that we represent, that I represent, and they also are part of it. If you've never been to a powwow, I highly recommend just sit your first one and listen and then get involved. But again, that's art. It's something that I noticed in my pamphlet that I looked through. There's a lot of funding for this. And again, I think our communities are better for it. One of the things I'd like to see more of, if it hasn't happened already, I did have a young man in my office this year from Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and we talked about how do we get the inner city kids out to greater Minnesota. Mm. And he talked about his experience up north, you know, not on a canoe trip, but at with a canoe, but not in the wilderness. And it was fascinating because he was like, he was older now, but he still remembers it. So I would love to see some collaboration someday, because I think also getting our kids down here to see how it works, so the two stigmas aren't there, you know, where the greater Minnesota people are, I don't want to go down there, it's crime. And it's like, it's not St. Paul. I'm not worried about St. Paul. I love St. Paul. And the inner city kids, or not just inner city kids, but people from the metro area tend to think, well, I don't want to go get eaten by a bear or a wolf, you know, and it's kind of like, it's okay, you know. Or like when I went to North Dakota State, they asked me if we plowed our roads in the winter. You know, it was like, you know, they have no idea how rural we are. So some of these questions and stigmas, by introducing each other to different areas, we celebrate Minnesota. And I think that's important for everyone, because then the bias start breaking down. And again, with I saw the pictures of all the young people here, that's where you start breaking them down, because for whatever reason, young people don't see color, and it's amazing. It's beautiful to watch. So somehow or another, if we could do something like that, I would sure love to see that happen. Whether we find a different process to do that, but I just wanted to make those comments. So thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Scrabo. I think we all love St. Paul. If anybody wants to respond. No pressure. Representative Chop.
Yeah, I just want to piggyback on that. I just had a question for the council. Is there an event where the 11 regional council come together and do like a exhibition in the cities, or do you guys ever come together, the 11 council, and do one big exhibition?
Director Turner.
Chair Peake. We have not in the past, but as a tremendous idea, when you say an exhibition, kind of a showcase of what everyone is doing across the state and kind of highlighting folks.
Yeah.
It has not happened. I've been doing this for 32 years and it hasn't happened, but I don't know why it has not. It'd be a great expo, a tremendous expo to have, and a great hat for the Legacy Amendment to, you know, hang its hat on. So
yeah, I think back to Scott's point, it'd be nice to have all the council come together, have one, you know, big expo, 11 council, and exhibition, and
something like
I think that'd be great. That's all. Thank you.
Any other comments? Questions? Closing remarks? Director Jens.
Thank you, Chair Finke. Thank you, members of the committee. We appreciate your attention today. We appreciate your good questions. We appreciate, obviously, your strong support for the arts. We can tell that that is the case. I want to close by thanking my colleague, Mark, who drove in from Verndale, and to thank Ms. Moore and Mr. Leal, who neither of them had ever been to a legacy. Let me back up. Neither of them had ever been to a legislative committee meeting before. Oh. And had never testified before, so they both said they were a little nervous, and I think they hit the ball out of the park today. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for inviting us, and we'll look forward to being back another time.
All right, thank you very much. You both did fantastic. Thank you. Seeing no further business, I'll just thank Chair Lilly again for this opportunity to take the wheel, and we are adjourned.